Vous êtes à l'écoute de
Mosaic.
Hey everybody, I'm Anna.
And I'm Alex. You're listening to Mosaic.
Alex, can you finish this rhyme for me?
I'll try.
In 1492,
Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Nice. We all learned that one in elementary school, right?
We sure did. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Oh, man. Columbus Day. It's become sort of this lightning rod of a holiday. And the debate over why we celebrate a colonizer who never actually stepped foot in the U.S. has led some schools and states to change the name to Indigenous Peoples Day or not celebrate anything at all.
Every year, during the second week of October, the same arguments boil over into protests and essays.
And the whole thing feels as tired as that old rhyming couplet. So why are we still celebrating Columbus? Well, it turns out, maybe we're not. In this episode of Mosaic, we take a look at how the oldest Italian neighborhood in Providence celebrates its immigrant history on one of the most controversial holidays in America. It's the Saturday of Columbus Day weekend, and I'm walking down Atwells Avenue in Federal Hill, Providence's historic Italian neighborhood. In just a couple minutes, there's going to be a ceremony to commemorate the official start of the 28th annual Federal Hill Columbus Day Festival. I pass by vendor after vendor, all setting up for the onslaught of festival goers. They're the ones you'd expect, like Venda Ravioli and Tony's Colonial Italian Market. But there's also a Greek restaurant, a West Indian smoothie stand, and a Chinese family with a big wok. I finally make it to the stage at the corner of Atwells and DePasquale Avenues. In between puffs of cigar smoke, the towering figure of John Lombardi appears at the microphone.
Good afternoon. Come on, let's hear it. You're in the greatest neighborhood in the world on Federal Hill, so let's hear it. Come on. Where's that enthusiasm?
This is State Representative John Lombardi. He's been representing Federal Hill since 1984. He's a lawyer, a judge, and he even filled in as mayor of Providence once. But he started his life in a big Italian family on Federal Hill.
My father was from Sicily, but he wasn't born there, but his mom and his dad were.
John is second-generation Italian-American. He embodies a classic Italian story of immigration.
His grandparents leave southern Italy at the end of the 19th century and immigrate to the U.S. through Ellis Island. Then they move up to Rhode Island to find work and live among the growing Italian community here.
Since the 1850s, Italians have been settling on the west side of Providence because it was a Catholic community.
Right. Irish Catholic immigrants came first, then the Italians, and both groups were met with a lot of racism. They weren't considered white, at least not white like the Protestants were white.
Yeah, so they formed their own neighborhoods and clubs and organizations to keep themselves safe and maintain their Italian Catholic identity. Federal Hill is one of these neighborhoods.
Everything I've done is in this name. I went to school here. I spend most of my time here. I mean, my house is literally, you can hit it with a baseball. It's my enclave. It's where I feel safe. It's where I feel comfortable.
When John's parents pass away, his grandmother raises him.
And my grandmother never spoke a word of English.
So John grows up in Federal Hill in the 60s and 70s, speaking Italian. He describes this time as blissfully ignorant.
You know, we lived in a cold water flat, they call them, you know, apartment. And in one of the apartments, there wasn't even a tub. We had to go to public baths. So I took showers in school at the Zuccolo Recreation Center. And then we have where the arch is, used to be a bathhouse. And we go there on a Saturday. But you know what? We never knew we were poor.
If you look around Federal Hill today, there aren't any bathhouses. But there are a lot of six-family homes. And everything is tightly packed and walkable. Signs that a lot of people were in the same boat as John's family.
You know, it would be like you, your grandmother, your aunts or uncles, your cousins, all in the same house.
And every Sunday, the whole extended family would come together over, what else? Food.
On a Sunday morning, the meatballs, that'd be like, she'd make like 80 of them. The first 30 or 40 were eaten by my uncles. Then they'd go to church, and then they'd come back and eat again. But it was all about eating. It was all, you know, like, you know, you'd start off with salad or antipasto, and then you'd have macaroni and meatballs with sausage, with chicken or ham or turkey, or and then, you know, then pastry. I mean, you literally, it was 2 to 3 hours. It was just unbelievable.
At the festival, the food is on full display. Cannolis, raviolis, chicken parm, meatballs, quahogs, fried dough, and sausage. Lots of sausage.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Very much.
Can I maybe come over here?
Well, my name's Michael, and I run the sausage stand for my brother. That's my sister.
Hi, I'm Penny. Hi.
It's a good festival to come to, have a good time, a lot of plenty of food, good food too, you know, so. And the kids got rides down the other end. That's what we're here for, you know, have fun and games.
The sandwiches are awesome.
So let me get this straight. The Federal Hill Columbus Day Festival is 3 days long?
Yeah, 3 long days. The first and last day are just kind of like street fairs with vendors like Michael and music and awards. But day two is the big parade. Harris Avenue looks like an old Hollywood lot. There are women in traditional Italian folk dresses, local beauty queens of all ages fixing their tiaras, multiple high school marching bands, police, firefighters, and news anchors, even Roman reenactors.
The joke was that when in Sunday school, when you're supposed to fall in love with Jesus, I fell in love with the Romans.
This is Quentin. He's been dressing up in Roman armor for 18 years. He tells me about his getup, and then he explains the Roman influence on Columbus and the founding fathers.
There's things to not admire about the Romans, but there's things to admire about them, and our founders saw things to admire about the Romans. It's part of how this United States was set up.
I go over to the leader of this group, Andy.
How's it going, Andy? You putting on your, what is that called?
This boat. The problem is that today we know this as Lorica segmentata, armor of segments, but that term came out of the 17th century.
He's tying the leather strips on the front of his metal armor, and I ask him about why he and his group are marching in this parade.
I'm not necessarily hung up about Columbus, and the more we learn about him in that time period and the whole exploration time and things like that in early colonial history, I kind of have to sit back and say, well, this kind of sucks. But at the same time, that was done in the past. We have the opportunity now that we can, you know, kind of stop that tide and say, okay, we can kind of start new.
They let me try on one of their helmets. We pose for a picture, and I keep it moving. I find that outside of these history buffs, no one is really focused on the Columbus aspect of this parade. They're much more focused on being Italian.
Can I get around you for a second? So much.
Up in the first spots of the parade in waiting, there are 4 cars devoted to the Italo-American Club of Rhode Island. I scooch around the North Providence marching band to talk to guys driving the vintage Cadillac at the very front.
We belong to the Italo-American Club. We're all Italians. We've been marched in this parade since its beginning, and these are all members of the executive board, if you will, Tommy and Joe, and that's it. My name's Steve Mullane, and it's a great thing to be Italian today.
Tommy, and Joe don't want to be interviewed, so I ask Steve what they're celebrating today.
Well, you celebrate, you know, all the things that the Italians did, and Christopher Columbus, that he came here and made a free world, and we're glad to do it, and we'll pass it on to different generations and different people.
The next car in line has 3 women in it from the Italo-American Club, and the older women in front tell me to talk to the younger one in back. She's actually from Italy.
From Bologna, from the north, yeah.
Do you have celebrations like this, celebrating Christopher Columbus in Bologna?
No, we do not. I've been also to New York, and I've seen that there are a lot of immigrants from Italy, and they have this like sense of belonging to Italy, and it's very strong, you know. I feel like, why are you so connected to Italy, given that you live here? They are given even more in love with Italy than I am. So,
The cars start to move. The parade is beginning.
So when did Italian Americans start identifying so strongly with Columbus Day?
Well, it happens around the same time Italians start immigrating to the U.S. en masse. Columbus Day was first celebrated in the U.S. to commemorate Christopher Columbus, quote-unquote, discovering the New World. But by the 20th century, Italian immigrants are a growing community, looking for a seat at the table.
And big public festivals are ways for immigrant communities to have fun, connect with each other, and celebrate their traditions. But they're also ways for immigrants to make money and claim ownership over a day and a place.
Exactly. So when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declares Columbus Day a national holiday in 1934, it's an acknowledgement that the Italian-American community is here to stay. I meet Armando at Trattoria Zuma, an upscale wine bar in Federal Hill. He's the general manager.
This is Armando.
Hey, Armando.
Armando was born in Naples. He moved to the States when he was 9. And since coming to Federal Hill for college, he stayed.
And what about it is that home away from home? Why do you like it?
Again, it's the ability to walk down the street and feel like you're eating little parts of Italy. Whether it be, you know, going to the piazza, seeing the fountain, having an espresso in front. You just feel like you're at home.
Armando is prepping his restaurant to serve thousands of people for the festival. And he really believes in the mission of the weekend.
You're giving people of our heritage a format to be proud of who they are. And it's not so much about Columbus, but it's about the traditions. The sausage and peppers, the yelling down, up and down the street. I mean, all of these things are things that are close to us, and that's really what should matter to us.
To someone who maybe is Dominican and identifies as like indigenous as well, who might reject the idea.
Well, I mean, you know, my fiance is Dominican, so it's inviting. You know what I mean? It's this street has made it possible so that everyone of any race and any, you know, can come up here and feel comfortable and really and believe in this, in what we're doing. And if you hang out here this weekend, you'll see that it's a plethora of everybody.
There are hundreds of people on the street yelling and cheering. It's not exactly the plethora of everybody Armando described, but the crowd is a little more diverse than I expected. The Cianci Educational Fund is throwing buttons and candy to the crowds. One very special family gets a jar of Buddy Cianci's brand of marinara sauce, which is, by the way, a real thing you can buy in supermarkets all over Rhode Island.
So you just got some pins and a Buddy Cianci jar of pasta?
Got Buddy Cianci gravy in the jar, yep.
Buddy Cianci is actually a huge reason why this festival is more than a Catholic procession.
In 1974, he was elected as the first Italian-American mayor of Providence. And one of his big projects while mayor is to bring business to Federal Hill.
So, with a little help from the Federal Hill Business Association and the Knights of Columbus, Mayor Cianci brings Columbus Day to Atwells Avenue. And now, it's a tradition.
Are you Italian-American?
Italian-American and Portuguese. We've been doing it since we were children, and now we bring children and grandchildren, so yeah.
I thank her and keep following the parade route. I find a guy wearing a big blue sports jacket and a hand full of gold rings. He and his wife could have just stepped out of a horse race or a Miami cigar emporium.
So why did you come out today?
Oh, because of Columbus Day, yeah. It's an Italian day. We love it. And we make a lot of noise about it.
Are you Italian yourself?
Yes, I certainly am, 100%. Paolino, yes. And you know, if it was Uncle Mike's day, it doesn't matter. We're all celebrating a happy occasion. So it doesn't matter whose day it is. It's a nice day, and it's an Italian day.
What would you say to somebody who doesn't understand it? How would you explain it?
I feel bad for you.
As I walk away down Atwells Avenue, the arch that welcomes visitors into Federal Hill is in sight. It's the end of the parade route, which was mostly a big Italian-American party.
And it's nothing like the parade in New York, where they have this giant Columbus replica on a float. People here seem like they're more focused on their personal nostalgia rather than the history of that day.
Right. But that's not the case just 2 miles down the street.
Yeah.
That looks like enamel paint too.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard to get off.
They've done it too.
Yeah, they've done this before.
I used to paint cars, right? When I was came out of high school, and enamel was the most stickiest.
I'm standing in front of a statue of Christopher Columbus at the intersection of Elmwood and Reservoir Avenues on the south side of Providence. Early this morning, protesters poured bright red paint all over the statue. It looks like blood. It's the day after the parade, Columbus Day. On the base of the statue, they chained a plywood sign that reads, "Stop celebrating genocide." It's a shocking sight, but it seems welcome among all the people walking by.
This is just, my day has been made already. What a joy.
Doesn't belong here, to be honest. What did Christopher Columbus do for the people? He's largely celebrated for nothing. For what it says right on the sign, genocide, killing people, massacres.
This is Ruben. He lives in the neighborhood and is taking pictures to post on social media. He's Dominican, so he traces his ancestry back to the part of the world Columbus pillaged. The genocide he's talking about is of the Taino people, the original inhabitants of the Dominican Republic and the Caribbean. And outside of the news crews here, the crowd is mostly other people of color. The man on the other side of me is Daryl, and he's indigenous.
A lot of reaction, huh?
Yeah. I'm surprised they've left it up so long. Like, it wasn't... I mean, it's hard to clean,
but... I'm surprised they didn't have a detail on it last night, really.
As we're making small talk, the Public Works Department rolls up with a scrub brush, a bolt cutter, and a power washer. They spray the statue with chemicals, scrub, and start power washing it. After about 15 minutes, Columbus is clean again. The camera crews pack up, the onlookers go home, and Christopher Columbus is left to stand another year.
Mosaic is a production of the Publix Radio, edited by Sally Isley, with production help from James Baumgartner and Aaron Selbig. Our original music is by Bryn Bliska. Tori Malatia is the general manager of the Publix Radio. I'm Alex Nunes.
And I'm Anna Gonzalez. Thanks for listening. Support for this podcast comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the advancement of international peace and security at carnegie.org.